Good afternoon to all of you wonderful saints that are on this 91-week journey. This is Pastor George again, and I truly hope you're doing well in spite of the home isolation as a result of this pandemic. I felt like a gangster this morning as I went food shopping for the first time with a bandana stretched across my face. But these are the times we live in. Now more than ever, it seems to me like a good time to trust in the Lord and to seek His face. And one way we can do that is by feeding daily upon His Word. Well, this week, number 62, we read another 14 chapters in the captivating book of Jeremiah. Now, I don't want to duplicate Pastor Soper's commentaries, but I will say that I concur with his thoughts, because for the first time in this book, I too felt a sizable shift in perspective and outlook for the people of Israel. Because here we begin to see glimpses and currents of hope for the future that for the most part had not been present in the previous 29 chapters, except for a few isolated passages that revealed the coming of a future king that would someday set things right. That being said, as I read this week and discerning where the Lord would lead, I was utterly amazed by chapter 35 and the story of the faithful Rechabites. If you recall, the Lord instructed Jeremiah to invite the Rechabites, a non-Jewish clan, to the temple and offer them wine, knowing full well that they would refuse to drink it, because doing so would violate the commands of their ancestors, something they would never consider doing. God planned to use the Rechabites as a demonstration of sorts, a real-life show-and-tell to contrast their obedience to their ancestors with Judah's habitual and ongoing disobedience to God. In fact, if I had to choose one word that best described God's people so far in this book, it would definitely be disobedient. Because over and over again, we see in the first 43 chapters of Jeremiah that God's people will be severely disciplined and punished, including the 70-year exile, because of their refusal to obey God in His word. In fact, chapter 40, verse 3 says it all. All this disaster happened because you people sinned against the Lord and did not obey Him. The calamity that came upon them was self-inflicted due to their disobedience and arrogant refusal to obey God's commands. There are always consequences associated with disobedience to God. And Judah's consequences were going to be severe due to the ongoing and arrogant nature with which they ignored the pleas and appeals of God to repent or else. In fact, King Jehoiakim in chapter 36 had the audacity to cut up and burn God's word piece by piece as it was read to him because he didn't like what it said. Can you even imagine? He was so prideful and self-deceived that he could no longer discern truth, even when it stared him in the face. And sadly, in verse 24 we read, "Neither the king nor his attendants showed any signs of fear or repentance at what they heard. They simply chose to ignore and thumb their nose at God." You see, obedience to God is a choice that always leads to transformation. We either choose to obey God or we don't. And when we do, it not only demonstrates our love and devotion to Him, but we position ourselves to receive His blessing in both this world and the next. And that blessing includes transformation. Do you want to know how to grow in your faith and mature as a follower of Jesus? Because it's really not complicated. Here it is. Read God's word daily and then do what it says. That's all there really is. Because when we do God's word, it's a clear demonstration that we trust Him and believe in Him. And that always leads to transformation. God is simply looking for people that will love Him and are willing to obey Him, something the people of Judah were unwilling to do. And as I read these passages, I don't know about you, but I could clearly sense God's heart. Because He desired that His people would love and obey Him, like the Rechabites did their ancestors. And he was so willing to bless them if they did. Instead, they treated God and his word with utter contempt and disregard, something God could no longer tolerate and permit for their own good. Remember, God doesn't need anything from us. He doesn't need our obedience because he's self-sufficient. Acts 17:25 says, "He's not served by human hands as if he needed anything." Obedience is good for us, not God, and it's good for us because it's a pathway to transformation. If there's some area of your life that you're choosing not to bring under obedience and submission to God, then that'll be a roadblock to your transformation that will remain in place until you choose to remove it through repentance and obedience. Remember, disobedience to God is sin. An ongoing sin becomes rebellion. An ongoing rebellion against God will eventually lead to negative consequences, just like it did for Judah and her kings. Sometimes consequences will show up in the form of God's discipline, because he disciplines those he loves, Hebrews 12:6. Sometimes the consequences are the natural result of our poor choices. And sometimes consequences can manifest through loss of blessing in this life or loss of reward in the next. Obedience leads to blessing and transformation. Disobedience results in negative consequences. The choice is always yours. So I encourage you this week, find an isolated place somewhere and spend some alone time with God. And ask him to reveal any roadblocks to transformation that may be present in your life as a result of disobedience. Because it's easy for us to shake our heads in disgust at the kings of Judah, but it's not so easy for us to look inwardly and acknowledge our own rebellion. Honest self-examination is an exercise in humility that opens the door to transformation. This is Pastor George. Have a great week in obedience to the King.